Brisbane advice firm Sharon Partners has developed what it calls a structured advice model for its clients, which, when combined with its approach to developing and retaining educated and engaged staff, have become the building blocks for its success. Find out more about how this business operates as we speak with Sharon Partners, Nathan Newell. We're joined today by Nathan Newell, who's an advisor and director of Sharon Partners based in Brisbane. G'day Nathan, nice to talk to you today.
Thanks Peter, good to meet you.
Perhaps if we could start off, if you could give us a brief description of the business that is Sharon Partners today. Who are your clients? What's the background of the business?
Certainly. Well, Sharon Partners was originally founded back in 2005 by Ken Hanlon. And over the last 13 years, with a lot of organic growth, acquisitions which have merged their businesses into Sharon Partners, me being one of those back in 2009, the business has continued to evolve and to grow to what it is today. So clients, primarily a lot of general mums and dads. We have a lot of small to medium-sized business owners. We have a lot of white-collar professionals. We have a number of sponsorships with the legal society and the bar associations. And, so very broad, Peter.
All right then, so it does appear that you, with a broad client base that has built over the years as a result of acquisitions and mergers, I guess, Do you have any way of being able to provide a consistent advice message to your broad-based client?
Well, certainly we, in the formative days, we put a lot of emphasis on, the systems, the process. We spent a 12-month project rolling out what we call our structured advice model. So that was, a 12-month program where we were, tuned in on a weekly basis to help build the processes that we could actually really, take on the growth over the latter years.
Okay, so for your advisor peers out there, can you drill down a little bit further into what constitutes the structured advice model?
Certainly. So it's about just providing a platform for whether we had two advisors or 100, but we're effectively able to delve into, a client's really lifestyle, what they're looking to achieve from a personal level. I look at product, platforms. It's really what falls out the back end. It's for us, it's about trying to build the relationship from that personal side. I look at two doctors, both earning the same wage, but have two very different sort of objectives, what they're looking to achieve. So with this, the structured advice model that we went through the process, it's about it's more trying to learn what's important to the clients. And it's been 8 years since we've sort of rolled out the structured advice model. And it's great now, even in review meetings with a lot of these clients who have been looking after for a number of years, the conversations really 10% about what's happening with the investments, what's happening with the insurance, 90% is more about, it's more just what's happening in their day-to-day lives and how they're actually achieving what we'd set out to do from that initial get-go.
All right, so there's a group of advisors and advice businesses in Australia that are strong advocates of being very, very specialised in the nature of their advice and who their target audience, their ideal client is. And yet we have, on the other hand, businesses such as Sharon Partners, whose history is based on the more mum and dad type client, the more general client demographic. However, it would seem, though, that your structured advice model seems to be able to specifically address the needs of each client the business has almost effectively in the same way as that specialised advice firm.
Correct. And I guess that's the beauty of, financial planning. There is not one correct answer or solution for every single person. So it's very diverse. You might be talking with someone in their, early 30s who look, I guess the risk side's important to them, ensuring that the covering off on debt, the family, those sort of needs, all the way through the life stages to eventually retirement, and about preserving those, their assets, so that they can actually live a lifestyle that they want to live in retirement. So.
Okay, so with the learnings from implementing the structured advice model, you'd certainly be an advocate that while specialisation is one way to go for advisors and advice businesses, it's certainly not the only way to go. There are other solutions out there.
That's correct.
Okay. So there are lots of elements that go towards making up a successful advice business. Sharon Partners has clearly stood the test of time. Can you point to one or two elements within the business that has kept it on the right path effectively and has helped it to evolve as it has?
Yeah, Peter. I think, I guess, obviously, the core, I guess, outcome we're looking for is obviously providing the appropriate solutions to clients. But of equal importance, we think what's inside the actual business, the culture within the business, is of equal importance. Key for us is looking for, I guess, trying to bring in like-minded individuals, good staff.
When you say like-minded individuals, do you mean advisors or staff?
I know all staff. We have, we budget approximately 4% of total salary and wages on providing additional education to all staff. That may be senior advisors to front of house. For us, we feel that obviously educated, engaged staff lead to obviously that key point of providing best outcomes for clients. So, I mean, you know, when you are, if you call an office, you know from that first minute or you've been met by the receptionist whether they want to be there or not. So we feel that obviously ensuring that staff have a real career path is key to actually maintaining those people that you want within the business. We also do obviously a lot of checkups with regards to all staff. We have we sit down on a 6-monthly basis, see how everyone's progressing. Whether, I mean, like a prime example is our practice manager. She joined Sharon Partners 5 years ago as a client service officer. Didn't have any prior experience in the financial services businesses, and over that time, she determined that she obviously built her way up as a client service officer. It wasn't what she wanted to go down the paraplanning route, advisor route, or stay in the sort of client services role. More managerial is what she was looking to do. So we spent a lot of time working with her to obviously do the appropriate education, and she's now doing a fantastic job in that role. So again, it's just about trying to find really good people and ensuring that I give them a reason to leave, I think.
Okay, so we've talked about your clients, and in fact, I'm going to come back to your clients in a minute because, again, all advisors want to understand their clients' values, but with Sharon Partners, it's certainly a policy and a very dedicated task to deeply understand all of your clients' policy or your clients' values, and I'd like to explore that with you in a minute. But are there any other key planks that relate to the basis of Sharon Partners on which you build the rest of the business?
Yeah, absolutely, Peter. So obviously in addition to obviously providing the sort of hopefully the best outcomes for our clients, also having a happy culture within the business, we also look to what we can do in the broader community. So 11 years ago, our first point of call, we've got an outreach centre, which is called Footprints. We have and made a point that two staff members, the first Tuesday of every month, will actually go into the outreach centre. So it's generally people who have had, they're homeless, they've had substance abuse issues, most of them are just lonely, and we'll have, we'll spend the full day in Footprints. We bring along a number of sort of gifts, general basic health, toothpaste, and just the basics that we take for granted, and spend the time in there having lunch, morning tea, speaking with all the regulars, so we've got to know them all on a very close basis, and we report that back to the office on a monthly basis, what's happening at Footprints. So that's been going for 11 years now, and I guess more of a recent, change was we actually went to a recruitment agency that specialised with people with disabilities. So that was, it's actually closer to 5 years ago now, we recruited Carmel. She'd never had a job before, but for our lucky clients and guests who come into the office on a Monday, Wednesday or Friday, she'll warmly greet them and take them to one of the meeting rooms, provide coffee, tea. She's a fantastic inclusion to the team. She also, on a Friday afternoon, will give everyone's handset a wipe down with a disinfectant.
Okay. That's brilliant.
Yep.
Okay. So before we move on to talking about the deep dive into your clients' values,
mm-hmm.
I was wondering with regard to the staff going along to the Footprints mm-hmm. venue, was that in any way challenging or confronting for your staff to do that, or is it something the business has embraced and everyone feels good about?
No, everyone, it is. For me, when I first went along to my first day, it is quite confronting. I sort of came away feeling a little bit, wow, like just gives you just an idea on how some people are actually getting on. It was, I wouldn't say depressing, but it was just really makes you appreciate what you've got. And for what we, I guess, go in there and provide it, you can see they actually enjoy the conversation, and it's great that we can actually, I guess, brighten up, I guess, someone else's day on even though it's a short period of time, but it's something that's it's been core to what we do moving forward, I think.
Okay, it's core to what you do, and it certainly reflects the personality of the business, and I presumably goes towards building a culture within the business. But has it in turn given back to the business your own investment of your time and commitment to this community?
Yeah, we don't look at it as a financial benefit for the business. Obviously, it's more about what we can do. I guess it comes back to the culture as well, where we can actually provide something back to the broader community. It's local, so Footprints was originally about 300 metres down from where we were based in Newstead. We moved into the city in Mary Street about 6 years ago. Footprints, they also moved to Bowen Hills sort of about 2 years ago. They outgrew the space. But
for anyone that doesn't live in Brisbane, is that far away?
No, it's about 2 kilometres as the crow flies.
Thanks, Nathan. Excellent. Well, we'll move on just in the interest of time. And all advisors want to know and understand the values that their clients hold in order to better serve them. How do you deep dive? How do you deeply understand your broad-based clients, their individual values?
It is, and that goes back to that process with the structured advice model. So it's just how we actually ask questions. So it's about understanding the why for what they're trying to achieve, and being able to provide those tools for new advisors coming through, or it's about just giving them the tools and for them to actually be able to get to the real basis for why clients have come to see you in the first place.
All right then, so one of they say the proof of the pudding is in the eating. Do you have a good client retention rate?
I'd say yes, Peter. We If we didn't, there'd be some serious questions about what we do. So we're quite fortunate. We don't advertise for any clients. We're 90% of our new business comes from existing clients. So part of the whole structured advice model process is at the end of it, we actually provide what's called a second opinion service to our clients, existing clients. That's where it's effectively an additional service to our clients where we'll actually offer a full review, a financial review for any of their friends, family, children, at least just to see whether, yep, you're on the right track, you don't need any assistance from us, or here's a few tweaks that I think you could improve on and go from there. So,
nice. Okay, so that sounds pretty good, and that's obviously a service that is not expressed as free, but at your expense.
Correct.
All right. Then how many of those clients would you say no? Do you, notwithstanding the fact that you have a broad-based client base, mm-hmm. Do you say no to clients? And if so, what is your structure or strategy for that?
Yeah, well, generally with regards to a lot of the referrals that come through from existing clients, whether it might be their 24-year-old son or their 70-year-old mother, for those clients, we're happy to assist if it's obviously still looking after their broader, I guess, family, so to speak. Generally, what I have come to learn is that some clients, you generally know if they actually understand the value of what we provide. That's been probably one of the biggest learning things for me over the last, 12, 13 years, is you've got to accept that you're not going to be able to provide all things to all people. I think when we talk about when clients are coming to buy you on price, they generally leave you on price. It's for me, if they understand the value of what we provide as financial advisors, I mean, that's ideally my ideal client. So it might be as small, as I said, a young accumulator. I'm here for the long term, so I look at that. Just growing that relationship is important. So.
All right, thanks for that. And congratulations, because you've just answered my next question, which is what have been your learnings? And guess that is a critical learning about when to say yes and when to say no to clients. Have there been any other learnings that have helped you develop and evolve the business as it is today?
Yeah, I think the big one for us is you've got to really utilise, well, firstly, technology. That's been a big part. For our growth, we invest a lot on, I guess, the systems and processes. We feel, obviously, if you've got that running smoothly, it's initial cost, but once you've got it moving, it allows you to actually take that next step in terms of scale.
All right. So for other advisors listening in, when you're talking about investment in technology, you would be an advocate, spend the money to get good technology, but that relates to client management systems and other policy administration structures?
Absolutely, all of that. So it's I think having those appropriate systems and processes and using that technology, I mean, technology's changed a lot over the last 10 years, particularly around the financial services. It can really improve the efficiencies back office, ensures all the reporting, everything to be kept accountable for, I guess, financials, for income, and having those tools is great to see how you're actually progressing. It's a big thing we've done it now for about 9 years, where we actually spend a full 2 days out of the office to actually work on the business as directors. That's probably one of the best things we've ever done. And I was looking back, we've just had our recent offsite down in Byron Bay for 2 days just to work on what the next 12 months entails. And I was actually looking back at 7 years earlier at some of the items we wanted to tick off, just little improvements over time. But it's amazing, you just chip away what you can actually achieve over that period. And it's it is quite nice, because, I mean, when you first started, it seemed like it was a mountain you had to scale, but you chip away and it's amazing what you can achieve in little bite-sized pieces.
All right, so you'd be an advocate for recommending that other advice businesses, as hard as it may seem, actually find the time to get out and stand on the balcony and look down on the dance floor of their business, as it were?
Absolutely. I think that's probably one of the most important things you can do as business owners within a business.
Okay. So over the journey, when you look back, are there things that you would have done differently, Nathan, if you had the opportunity? It's a common question, it seems, we're asking most of your colleagues.
Is it? Okay. What would I have done differently? I guess it's hard, because I know we all make mistakes. I think without making those mistakes, you probably don't learn. So, but for me, I think it's probably undervaluing what we do as advisors. I'm sure I'm not the only one, but I think it's hard to put a price on what we do with clients, whether it's appropriate insurances. I mean, we've handled over $100 million in claims since 2010, since we've been recording it. I think the other thing I would probably do is, I've never really I'm not a big salesperson amongst personal friends. I think it's just allowing them to know what you do and come to me. But there have been instances where things have happened, and that's probably something I wish I had probably been a little more vocal on in terms of that point.
that's a troubling and difficult thing that is experienced by many advisors, the extent to which they know their friends should have those sorts of conversations and find it difficult sometimes to do that. So I'd love to explore that in a little bit more detail. Perhaps we'll find another time to do that. Is there, in finishing up, perhaps a final message that you might want to send to your peers who are continuing on their advice journey, looking to perhaps develop their business?
Absolutely. I think it's, although there's a lot of talk in the industry at the moment with the Royal Commission, but I think it's a fantastic industry. I mean, I love it. Every client's different. I'm sure we're all in here to help our clients, and that's why we do what we do, I think. So,
well, for the time being, Nathan Newell, Sharon Partners, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Peter.